Warning, the following podcast contains mature language and content.
You're listening to Dude, Wait, What Podcast. Snake. Snake!
Welcome to the Dude, Wait, What Podcast, an hour of news, opinions, and just plain old talk about video games and the gaming community. You can find our website at dudewaitwhatpodcast.blogspot.com, and you can contact us by leaving us a message on the Nerdsphere forums. Those are at autobotcity.myfastforum.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dude, Wait, What Podcast. I am a co-host. It's Bob. And with me today, as ever, is Toya.
Hello.
And Sean.
Hello.
Fantastic. Now, mixing things up a little bit this week, we're on a bit of a downer, some people feeling a bit rough, and some people haven't shown up, clearly being kidnapped by ninjas or something. So, the plan is, carry on without them, because we don't need them.
The show must go on.
It must go on.
I like your honesty, Bob. And,
well, you know, fuck them. if I gave two shits, I would. Right.
Right.
Next. First thing we're going to talk about. No segue, fuck it. We're going straight for...
Well, a little context. San Diego Comic-Con was this weekend, so a lot of the news we'll be talking about this week is coming out of Comic-Con.
And if you were at Comic-Con, how dare you?
I don't think this did. What I'm going to talk about first.
Yes.
Typically, we're going to talk about DC Universe Online. New trailer that came out, was it a couple days ago? Today?
I think it was over the Comic-Con weekend at least, yeah.
Yeah. Came out yesterday. It was basically the intro to the game.
Yeah, and it's
very,
looking,
very nice.
It's looking pretty sweet so far. We, you and I have both signed up for the beta. We don't know if we'll be chosen, but, you know, put your name in there.
Yep.
Yeah, if anybody wants to sign up for the beta, they're taking... What is? I think it's just DCU Online, I think is the...
I will find the link.
I would, but I know my computer is shit and wouldn't run it.
Yeah, it's only coming out on... It's only coming out on PC and PS3 right now.
Yeah, Sony are making the game, so... Yeah. You know, it's not really a shocker.
Can I say something about the opening cinematic?
Yes.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about, but yes, carry on.
Wonder Woman sword fighting with, what is it? I can't think of his name.
You mean Deathstroke?
Yeah, Deathstroke.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
I'm not sort of loving the aesthetic of the game, but then again, I'm hard to please art-wise. Have to say, though, the initial screens of the Joker are looking pretty good. It looks very similar to his Arkham Asylum design.
And you heard the voice of the Joker.
Yes, it's Mark Hamill. I mean, can't really go wrong with Mark Hamill as the Joker. There's no two bits about that.
It's what I liked about the fact was it built up big epic battle, all that good stuff, and it makes you think that it's going to be stereotypical MMO. Oh, look, we got hit by Cataclysm. So now you have to save the world in the wasteland after everyone you know is gone.
Speaking of gameplay-wise, do you think it's going to play anything like City of Heroes or Champions Online, anything like that?
From what I've seen, because there is some gameplay footage from E3, and it looks very much like them. Who's going to talk? You or me?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they say they're trying to make the combat more like a third-person combat game like Arkham Asylum was. Not to that detail, but they want the combat to be more to that level rather than your typical MMO, which is mouse-click.
Yeah. I see where they're going with that. But
mouse-click.
My question is, if you make it that real-time, right, if you're making it slightly more real-time than clicking the mouse, here's the question. Is this going to have cross-platform play? Can if you were playing it on your PS3, can I play with you on my PC?
They haven't said anything yet, but I'm going to guess that's what they're going to be trying to put forward.
Well, here's the thing. If it's not going to be mouse click, this kind of ties into another news story that happened earlier this week. I'll just quickly touch on this one. Seems that Microsoft, back in the earlys of the Xbox 360, had experimented with cross-platform play, with having PC gamers and Xbox 360 gamers play against each other.
And Shadowrun.
Yeah, Shadowrun, exactly. And they revealed this week that they pretty much nixed the idea because in most cases, PC gamers clean the console gamers' clocks because the mouse and keyboard is simply more accurate than a console controller is.
I would agree with you in most situations. However, all the times they've done that has been with a shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
This is different because it's about controlling your character's movement. If it's, I don't think. See, that everyone says it's got more in-depth gameplay and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It never is.
No,
it never is.
It boils down to numbers. It always boils down to numbers and experience.
And to be honest, I'm not complaining about that.
No, no.
It wouldn't bother me if it did. Because any MMO is only as you've got the basic infrastructure for all MMOs is practically the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what little things they try and do different. As we all know, World of Warcraft is the benchmark.
Yes. If you can beat World of Warcraft, you've got something on your hands.
If you can beat World of Warcraft, you win the world. But,
yeah.
But
of Warcraft.
All the games have come. All the games have come since then have basically copied World of Warcraft formula.
Yeah.
It's very little different. The bit that makes it suffer is polish and a decent end game.
Well, you know why most they copy games, it. They copy it because it works.
Oh, yeah, I'm not stating that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that most games come in, they go, right, well, World of Warcraft's beginning isn't very good, we'll go with that. The problem they've got is that they need to make a new community. So they make all the, I mean, I think most of the MMOs that have come out since then have a much better starting area and tutorial system than World of Warcraft does. Warhammer Age of Reckoning and Star Trek Online certainly do.
Dungeons & Dragons Online had a fairly okay one.
Yes.
It was all right.
But that's a prime example of what a lack of polish does to a gamer.
Yeah, because that game is very, very bare bones.
It suffers because of it. It's all well and good saying, oh, the gameplay is what matters. If the gameplay is the same across everyone you're competing with on a month-by-month basis, this isn't just a quick purchase. You're competing with them for money or for a substantial period of time. You've got to stand out considerably. World of Warcraft, for its limited graphics, I mean, Sean's PC would run World of Warcraft no problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is a very basic game, but it still looks beautiful because of how well they've tailored it.
Well, I think
time on it.
If we're going to get into a technical aspect, I think what they do is they don't focus so much on texture art. They focus more on lighting and this beautiful colored lighting that makes everything, pop visually. And I think a lot of games these days, especially on consoles, are not really doing that. They're more going for like how detailed can we bump map this texture here and there and everywhere. But that's a graphics issue. Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. Age of Reckoning, which in all intents and purposes should have looked better, it was more of a system hog, didn't, because they didn't polish it.
Mm-hmm.
They made it. It was functional. Let's get it on the market. No. If you do that, it's going to fail. From the early screenshots from E3, the DC Universe requires a lot of polish.
Yeah.
The player character, obviously the player character they had was very limited in its design because it's just, they had to differentiate it from all the DC characters.
Can I just say that we are going to see a lot of copycat heroes when the game first comes out.
I'm going to try and make a Green Lantern.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm saying. You're going to see a billion and one Flashes, 1,001 Green Lanterns, and God knows how. Every time you turn around, you're going to bump into a Batman.
Yeah, what's going to be sad, you're just going to have that one guy who's the Green Arrow. Hi, everybody.
Here's
what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the only guy on that server playing as Ambush Bug.
Yes, you are.
God!
Yes, you are. You're going to be the only person in the world. Well, you were. Until now.
No, because nobody else is going to dare play as Ambush Bug. Trust me on this.
They will do just to spite you, Toy. You know people do things just to spite you.
I know.
God himself.
If I could play it, I'd probably be only one playing as Ace the Bat Hound.
Oh, God.
Yes, you would, because it's silly. But, yes. An interesting point when you brought up Green Arrow. In the credit, for the scene about them all fighting and everything in the cinematic opening, you see his corpse lying over some rubble.
Yes.
He doesn't even get to move in the trailer. Poor Green Arrow. No, in fact, I hate Green Arrow. He's rubbish. My best mate loves him to bits. I think he's pants. But hey. He's just a dead corpse. He's a corpse everywhere. Every game I've seen, you know, Apocalypse. Oh, look, Green Arrow's dead.
I just did a little reading here, and I realized that Ambush Bug's arch nemesis is an Argyle sock. whose name is Argyle.
Oh, no.
I so have to
Maybe
play
you're
this
right.
Guy.
You do realize I'm going to have to make an enemy called Argyle Sock on the villain side.
Yes.
Because this is a very important thing about DC Universe.
Yes.
You can play as a hero and a villain. Now, whether they're going to go the same way as City of Heroes Rogue Island, which is you kind of can flip between the two, I hope not. Because I want to be able to go... Because I love faction warfare, and I love the idea of being able to have two characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm hoping they do away with the whole... you have to be one side on each server. Because that does my head in. Because you want to build up to one character of each side. You've probably got friends on the same server. You could just have, on the same server, have a good version of your guild and a bad version of your guild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to be flicking between servers. It's... Screams of being picky, but it's looking good. Like I was saying, the gameplay mechanic, the player character that they were showing in the gameplay videos at E3 looks a bit ropey, and so did the general area and textures and that. But that was E3. The game is nowhere near completion. If it's at beta stage now, you're looking at minimum 8 months, because they haven't even started up the beta. This is the closed beta. What was it? Yeah, this would technically be a closed beta. Then there'd be an open beta, where they start dragging in groups and groups of people.
Hey, what if I play as Mazing Man?
Shut up.
What?
Don't what me? You know exactly why I'm whatting you.
Mazing Man is awesome.
No.
Yeah, anyway.
No. Black Adam's in it. Black Adam was awesome.
Yeah.
But basically, the game is going to do better than a lot of others because it's going to have the DC tag. They can get it to play like City of Heroes, which I played and enjoyed.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't stay with City of Heroes is that there was nothing there to keep me there. There was no backstory. There was no anything.
Well, that's pretty much it, isn't it? It's not just a matter of getting people to play. It's keeping people playing. It's fostering that community.
Which is why World of Warcraft does so much better than lots of other games, because they've tailored to the end game players.
Mm-hmm.
When you start off, it's quite hard, but if you persevere, you get through. Throwing rewards at you.
You know who I think, if they ever made an MMO, would just totally own the market? They could even kill Blizzard. It would be Valve, if Valve ever decided to do an MMO. Because they've proven they can do community stuff with their Team Fortress stuff.
It would be like those adverts in the UK was... If Carlsberg did football matches, those kind of things. Basically, if Valve did MMOs, it'd be the best MMO in the world.
It would, because they honestly do care about their fans. I'm not saying this so that Valve will send us free stuff. I'm not saying that at all.
No, Valve. Well, not that we would argue with Valve.
Gabe, if you're listening.
Just send it to Toya Trinidad. It will get there.
It's fine.
After it's obsolete.
Yeah, 5 months' time. Anyway, so what else do we see coming out of Comic-Con this weekend?
I don't know. There was crappy little company. ComCap. Anyway, no one's heard of them. They were doing some random crossover between a big game called Tekken and some little shitty game that no one's heard of.
Yeah, thanks a lot there, Bob.
Was it Backstreet Brawler?
Oh God! Oh God! Why
no? No. It was Fatal Fury.
Tekken X, Backstreet Brawler, something like that. What was it? Tekken X.
I'm just gonna let you run out of steam.
Tekken X Streets of Rage. It looked quite good. Why they had Axel with brown hair? I don't know. But.
They ran out of his hair dye.
Oh, the toy died a little bit inside.
That a lot.
I heard him die as soon as I said Axel with brown hair. He died. He died inside. Would you like to go ahead, Toya, before I...
So, what happened is Yoshinori Ono, who is the producer for Street Fighter IV, was twittering all week, about 2 weeks in advance, that he had a big announcement to make at Comic-Con, and said that it is an announcement so big it's going to make Street Fighter IV look insignificant. A lot of rumors had flown around, and a couple of them were actually pretty right. They were pretty on the money, except for the title. It was a crossover event with Namco, and actually the Namco guys had crashed the panel that Ono was at. Ono, by the way, was dressed as Ryu for the panel, and Harada from Namco came into the event dressed as Heihachi from Tekken, and they announced Street Fighter X Tekken. Now, there's going to be two games. There's going to be Street Fighter X Tekken, which is running on the Street Fighter 4 engine, and there's also going to be Tekken X Street Fighter, which is going to be running on the Tekken engine. That game is going to be coming soon. Street Fighter X Tekken is the one that they've showed. They showed a trailer and they showed some gameplay. And it plays like Street Fighter, but there have been... in the gameplay, there's one or two notable things that occur in the gameplay. There are new additions to gameplay, like a wire foo, essentially. If you hit your opponent into the wall, they can bounce off, and that can lead to juggle attacks. Also, when a character is knocked down, you can actually do a forward roll to get up, which is something that used to be exclusive to Tekken. You could do the four-way roll to get up, or you could just stand straight up.
Yeah,
that's never been a thing in Street Fighter. In Street Fighter, usually you just get knocked down to the ground and you hit any two punch buttons, two kick buttons, or your throw command, and just to get up faster to throw your opponent off. So this would, you know, this effectively opens up some mix-up games. In order for the Tekken characters to compete, they've essentially boiled down the Tekken dial combo system has now become a target combo system. So effectively, a lot of the Tekken fighters are going to play like Dudley's target combos in Street Fighter 3 and in Street Fighter 4. The characters that have been confirmed so far from the gameplay that they've shown, we're getting Ryu, we're getting Kazuya, we're getting Chun-Li, and we're getting Nina. And there is going to be a tag system in place, so it is going to be a tag game. So far what we've seen, the game looks good. I like the art style. The Tekken characters have been slightly remolded to fit the exaggerated Street Fighter art style, and they fit pretty damn well. They look like they're a consistent part of the world. I think these are two universes that fit better together than most fans of either series are willing to admit.
Oh, I sent it to you last night, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite probable that they are in the same universe. If they wanted, they could just say they're in the same universe and the events happen at different times.
Well,
I think
both of the universes are so nebulous and poorly defined. I mean, let's be honest, they are fairly poorly defined that you could slot in, you know, the Mishima Zaibatsu alongside the Masters Foundation. You know, those two things could work.
Mm.
You know, I'm saying that there are enough similarities and enough plot holes in each that you could fit in and sort of make things work. We were saying the other night it would be fun if Kazuya and Jin's Devil Gene was part of the Dark Hado, and maybe Ryu, being able to use the Dark Hado, has the Devil Gene.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud there on that one. But
I still want to see the one team up, the face up that you want to see.
Which is?
Dan Hibiki versus Mokujin.
I think that's gonna happen. I think they're both the Joe characters in their respective franchises. I think that's gonna happen. Also coming out of Capcom, a ton of news. First of all, Super Street Fighter IV is getting an arcade release in Japan. This is unusual in that usually these games get arcade releases first and console releases after. However, a single screenshot has leaked out of the arcade version that shows two blank character slots, meaning that we're probably going to get two new characters for Super Street Fighter 4. Whether this means they will be completely arcade exclusive or will be coming as downloadable content to the Super Street Fighter 4 on the consoles remains to be seen. But Ono has been adamant in saying that Super Street Fighter 4 is the last console Street Fighter 4 game. After that, they will simply have to move on in numeration. I'm a little worried about adding characters to Street Fighter 4 at this point, because it's going to be either a humongous download, because you're going to have to download the character model data, the texture data, the voice data, an ending and an intro for each character. Then plus you're going to have to rebalance all the other characters so that they fit with the new characters. I'm not sure I'm willing to do that. I would actually be kind of pleased if it was just like, you know, arcade only and that's it. You guys on the console are just going to have to deal, you know?
Yeah, that wouldn't bother me either.
No.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at EVO, EVO tournaments, they're played on console. They're not played on arcade machines. So, this does not affect the competitive fight scene much, even if it does come to pass. Okay, aside from that, Capcom has also announced that they are working on new costumes for Super Street Fighter 4, so they're going to continue to support that as their core franchise. Also, we are getting Street Fighter 3 Third Strike online, which I am very much looking forward to because that is one of the best competitive Street Fighter games out there.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like Third Strike?
No.
Oh, you're insane.
Sorry.
He is Bob. We already know he's insane.
They have been saying that there are some tweaks to the game. Whether this means a visual tweak or a gameplay tweak, we're not too sure. I'm not sure they should mess with the game gameplay was because it is one of the most tournament-friendly games you can ever play. The only complaint I would say I have with Third Strike is that when it comes to tournament characters, like the tiering of the characters, there's only a handful of them. There's only about five or six characters that anybody uses at tournament. So if they were to tweak the game, I'd say what they should do is make some of the other characters a little more viable in terms of combat. You know, because nobody at tournament ever plays Q or ever plays 12 or ever plays Necro. Those are just forgotten characters. So yeah.
It's,
One more thing out of Capcom, just to round out the news. More characters announced for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Earlier in the weekend, we got news of Super Skrull, Trish, Doctor Doom, and Chun-Li, and two new characters announced on the weekend of Comic-Con, Amaterasu and Thor. Which, if you're keeping track, folks, means that the list that we reported to you a couple of months ago is pretty much correct so far.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we saw the gameplay with Thor.
Yes.
And I want to say Thor is looking badass.
He plays kind of like a mix between, I would say, like between Storm and Hulk.
Yeah.
Probably the best way to explain it.
What I like is that one super where he does the lightning tornado.
That looks pretty sweet. That does look pretty awesome. Amaterasu looks pretty quick and pretty lithe and a very small target to hit, so her usability in combat would be, I'd say she's pretty much like a Spider-Man tier character. I mean, she's tiny, hard to hit, and moves fast. It's not a problem for me. I think that's pretty cool.
Now, tell them about what she does to the background.
Oh, her moves actually tear the background as if the background is made out of paper, which I think is pretty awesome.
Now, we found out something interesting about one of the backgrounds to the level.
Well, yeah, the Resident Evil background. Yeah, apparently if you pull off a level 2 or above super on the ground floor of the Resident Evil level, it shatters all the tanks in the backgrounds and the zombies come crawling out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm liking that little interactivity. I hope the levels all have like at least one little thing you can do. Because Marvel vs. Capcom 2 had like a couple of them, but they could have really expanded it more. I remember one of my favorite ones is if you finish a level on the clock tower with a level 3 super, you can actually break the clock tower in the background and it will crash down. I always love that. Or like in Street Fighter 4 in the airport in Africa, if on the third level, you know, the plane comes up real close and it parks?
Yeah.
If you do a super that goes up in the air, it will snap the wing off the plane and it goes flying into the air and then stabs itself down into the ground in the background.
Nice.
That was cool.
I love it when they do stuff like that. That is the old Capcom attention to detail that I think they've honestly been kind of lacking. Like, oh, one more thing I want to say about Marvel vs. Capcom 3. They are apparently bringing back character themes. Now, in the first batch of gameplay videos, we just had one constant song running in the background. In the new batch, apparently they've implemented the music because every time you defeat a character and their replacement comes in, it switches music tracks to that character's theme song, and I am so thankful that they're doing that again, because that gives the game so much personality. Sometimes, when I played the original Marvel vs. Capcom, I would actually try to keep my character in longer because I like their music.
That would make sense.
It's one of those things. I mean, like, I think like some of the original themes in Marvel vs. Capcom 1 were amazing. Spider-Man's theme, we're pretty much sure they're bringing back Spider-Man in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I hope they remix his Marvel vs. Capcom 1 theme for Part 3. I really hope so, because that song, to me, is Spider-Man's theme. Whenever, you know, whatever medium you want to say it in, comic book, movie, whatever, to me, that song says Spider-Man. And one of the other things I loved in the first Marvel vs. Capcom, Venom's theme was actually like a corrupted version of Spider-Man's theme. That was awesome.
Cute.
Cool.
Anything else out of Capcom? I think that was pretty much it. We were waiting for some Mega Man news, but I think that might have just kind of gone under the radar right now. I mean, the Street Fighter versus Tekken thing, that's kind of eclipsed a lot of stuff. One more thing out of Comic-Con I want to talk about was Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. Two bits of news on this. One is that they have revealed the final dimension, and it's Ultimate Spider-Man. But not just any Ultimate Spider-Man. Ultimate Spider-Man in the black costume, which I think is pretty bad. I mean, it's one thing to have just a black-suited Spider-Man. It's quite another thing to have Ultimate Spider-Man in the black suit. Anybody who's read the comics knows why. Venom wasn't really an alien in the Ultimate Universe. Venom was actually a project by Peter Parker's father to cure cancer by creating this living suit that would enhance a human being's abilities. And I really do like the fact that they're delving into that story. Also, shown in the trailer, Ultimate Deadpool makes an appearance in that. And one more piece of news out of that, Neil Patrick Harris is going to be doing the voice for The Amazing Spider-Man in that game.
Nice.
Now, he's already voiced Spider-Man for the, I think it was the 2002 animated series that aired on Nickelodeon. And he
I think it was MTV.
MTV and Nickelodeon. I mean, they're both companies that are owned by Viacom. I thought he was a fantastic voice. Viacom, we own you.
Yes. So I just couldn't resist. I just will forever remember that. Viacom.
I think Neil Patrick Harris is a good choice for that. I'm looking forward to Shattered Dimensions. Honestly, the gameplay I've seen so far looks kind of meh. The graphics look kind of okay, but it's Spider-Man. I've got a soft spot for Spider-Man, so I'm gonna play it. There you go.
Yeah, I do like the film noir version of Spider-Man.
That is looking nice. That's kind of like a Batman / Spider-Man thing going on there.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Especially that scene where he fires the webs and, like, skating or behind the truck.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet stuff. Ba, what about the Halo Reach panel that was at Comic-Con?
Well, yeah, I've only managed to see some of it because it is so epic. But from what I can gather, it's looking really good. A lot of people are sad because they've already announced that it's going to be their last Halo game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has to end at some point. I mean, you can't keep pumping out the game. I would love to see that universe expanded on, and I think it's expanded on very well in the books, and I really would like to see more and more of it, but if Bungie's done with it, they want to move on to do other things. And the thing, though, is that they've left the Halo franchise with 343 Entertainment, and I think it would be nice if 343 found another studio to move that property onto and keep making Halo games. They won't be the same. They will never be the same without Bungie behind the wheel, but at least we might get some more stuff out of the franchise. Now, remember, Bungie said it's their last Halo game. They haven't said that it is the last Halo game.
Yes, but for intents and purposes, it is.
For all intents and purposes.
It's like when Eidos and Sports Interactive had a hissy fit. Eidos being the publisher, Sports Interactive being the developer of the Championship Manager series. Sports Interactive created the Championship Manager series many moons ago, with Championship Manager on the PC. Got big publisher, Eidos took them on, everything was good. After Champman 4's first update, I think it was the last one they did was 2005. Season, Eidos and Sports Interactive had a big hissy fit.
Yes,
basically a lot to do with Eidos being dicks. Sports Interactive left, and Eidos went, "Haha, we have the name," and they went, "Yeah, but you don't have anything else." And they took everything else.
You don't have the talent.
Yeah, basically, and it was proven with the first Championship Manager game being one of the worst management games ever in the history of management games.
Yeah.
And it will be exactly the same thing. I don't. It's like Treyarch.
Mm-hmm.
The Treyarch Call of Duty games. People in the know go, "Oh, it's a Call of Duty game. Who's my Treyarch? Oh, I won't rush out
I'll,
to get
I'll
that
skip
one.
This one.
I'll wait till that one's on budget."
I've said as much about the next one. What is it? Call of Duty Black Ops. I have no interest.
Well, this is the thing. A lot of the UK magazines, at least, who have gone to see it, have gone, "Oh my god, this actually looks really good." I refuse to accept it until I see it running myself. I I'm not getting excited. I'm getting very bored with first-person shooters.
They have to try
that's
something.
That's why I want to play that Singularity.
Yeah, Singularity, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do, so...
I highly recommend Singularity. I love that game. Absolutely fantastic. Well, I mean, the thing is, it's nothing earth-shaking, it's nothing new, it's nothing groundbreaking, but it was fun from start to finish, and I can always get behind a game that's fun, regardless of if it does anything new or not. I mean, hey, it's time well spent. That's all I'm going to say about that game. I really... If you're on the fence about getting it, I'd say wait for it to get, you know, get a budget copy, wait for Steam to have it on sale, and then, you know, sink however much money into it. It really is worth it.
I
agree. The first-person shooter landscape right now is kind of bleak. I think what's going on is we're seeing us right now, I think the most excitement is going into fighting games and adventure games right now, and the multiplayer scene seems to be kind of, you know, the multiplayer shooter genre seems to kind of be taking a back seat right now.
I want to say something else.
Uh-huh.
I just want to add something else to the mix. Mm-hmm. Say 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
what's happening now with real-time strategy games coming out mm-hmm. would have been much bigger news.
Here's the thing, though. I think once StarCraft II hits later, it's actually this month, isn't it? I think it's this weekend. Is it?
No. I think so.
Yeah, it's next week. It's the 27th.
Next week. Once that hits, the sales figures come in for that, I think we're going to see a renaissance in real-time strategy as well. I think we're going to see that
swell. I think we're going to see that game swell. This is why, right?
Mm-hmm.
Command & Conquer 4 came out. Yeah, not very good. Let's go back, right? Dawn of War 2's add-on came out. Very good add-on.
Yeah.
Very good. Played it. Really good. Command & Conquer 4 came out. I know it's not very good, but it still should have sold better for being the last in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Commander 2 came out, critically acclaimed. Vast improvement upon the original Supreme Commander. Mm-hmm. Didn't sell well. To the point where it was actually £10, brand new.
Damn.
Not long ago. Right? In the shops. And StarCraft 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
Now, 5-10 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, StarCraft 2, woo, 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 get a new PC. I'm not now.
Mm.
Because I think the problem with real-time strategy games is that they peaked. They peaked with Red Alert 2 and StarCraft.
I think there's a threshold of complexity. And when I say that, what I mean is there's only so much you can expect the player to do. I think fighting games have learned this a while ago, which is why... A lot of the fighting games coming out now are, in my opinion, dumbed down. They're a lot simpler than I would like. Even Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is using essentially a three-button system. It's supposed to be four, but that fourth button is the launcher button. So essentially, it's three buttons. And to me, that makes the game lack in variety, but at the same time, I can understand why they're doing it, because most new players are intimidated by the type of gameplay that they see. Now, it's kind of a catch-22, because when you dumb down yourself for the new player, you also alienate the veteran player who wants the options open to him at any one given point. You know, I have like 6 or 7 different things I can do. When you give me 3 buttons, that limits that significantly. Or it means that when I have to do a special attack, my inputs are limited.
Yeah. However,
it means that the newbie can pick up the game and be on a fairly similar level
to
a veteran.
It's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the complexity difference is more pronounced, obviously, with real-time strategy.
Right.
Look at Supreme Commander 2. Mm-hmm. Right? You look at its scale.
Mm-hmm.
is immense. You're mm-hmm. talking about controlling thousands of units.
Yeah.
I know, granted, you're going to group them into your battle groups, bang, 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 attack.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you do that, micromanagement is still a bitch in that game.
Exactly, because it's overcomplicated. Same with Supreme Commander. When this is more complicated form of Supreme Commander. And then you've got StarCraft 2 is trying to simplify it again. Now, if the real-time strategy market is going to succeed, StarCraft 2 is going to have to be amazing. But it's really, really, really going to have to be amazing.
But the thing is, it's not. Having played the beta, I can tell you, it is not amazing. It's not groundbreaking. As a matter of fact, aside from the new units, the game plays pretty much like StarCraft 1. There is no fundamental game change difference. If you've played StarCraft 1, you can jump into a match in StarCraft 2 and in a matter of minutes know what you're doing. not that that's a bad thing, but I'm saying that there has been nothing altered. I mean, it's not like a huge jump. Like, you remember from Warcraft 2 to Warcraft 3? That was a huge jump where they added two whole new races. That was brilliant. And the races had significant differences to each other, you know, like from how they harvested to how their units worked. StarCraft is just sticking with what works. It's sticking with that trifecta of three races with rock, paper, scissors gameplay, and it's not evolving. And I think that might be a mistake. But that being said, I'm still going to play it. Now let's take that conversation to another level. I want to stop you for a second, Bob, because I think we're onto something here. I want to talk about something that I was talking about yesterday with some people at an art meetup that I was at, about complexity in games, and at this point, not from a gameplay perspective, but from a programming and graphics perspective. Because, Bob, I'm sure you feel this way too at some points, that you can hear about a game now, wait 2 years for it to come out, it comes out, you play it, you finish it, now what? You know, if the game doesn't have multiplayer and you're not going to play it again, that's 2 years of anticipation and time that the company spent working on it. And sure, they've made a great-looking game, but do you really think you get your money's worth out of that? Or your emotional investment's worth out of it? Do you?
Yes. Well, think of it this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to a cinema mm-hmm. in the UK. If you're lucky, it's going to cost you £6 for hour and a half's entertainment, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Average timings you get, average amount of fun you get out of a game, I'd say is about 10 hours, so that's a good single player.
That's average. About average. Yeah.
Yeah, about average. So that would be about, if it's 90 minutes, it's £6. Simplifying it down, you look about 50, 60 quid.
But do you think that the time spent anticipating the game,
No. See, that's a nonsense, because that's something you create in your own mind. If you want to obsess over a game, wait for it to come out, you're going to enjoy it more when it came out. You're going to play it more when it comes out. That's just the way it is. If you don't obsess over the game, you're going to buy the game when it comes out. You're going to play it as much as you want to play it. It's this thing of anticipation, you know, is it going to be worth the money when you get it? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because you've got... I can't see how this... I actually can't fully understand what you mean, because if you're waiting 2 years for a game to come out,
mm-hmm.
you're looking forward to that game. That's essentially giving you free entertainment as you wait and you look for things before it comes out. It's right. giving you something to do. It's eating up your time for free. Mm-hmm. Then the game comes out. You then pay for the game. You then play the game.
I'm talking about games that don't leave a lasting impression, even though they were hyped to be. I guess it's a hype issue, really. I mean,
yeah.
I have a pretty significant problem with War for Cybertron, in that I finished that game basically in a weekend, played the multiplayer, didn't find it very intriguing, and kind of put it to the wayside. And I feel a little betrayed that I waited so long on that game.
But you, in the same way, I remember last time you waited, you wanted to really see a film. Mm-hmm. Moon and Failbender.
Oh, boy. I wish you was here for this right now. Yeah.
I know. This is a prime example, right? You can wait for an age. You can wait for years for a movie to come out, 2-3 years for a movie you're waiting for to come out. When it comes out, it's bad. Mm-hmm. Now, do you then go, you get angry and everything like that? But at the end of the day, it's a chance you took.
Yeah.
You can look at the reviews first. You cannot look at the reviews first. I still stand by my score of 7.5 for the Wolf Cyber, which is the score I gave it when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it's a solid game.
So
the multiplayer is
let me throw one more thing at you.
I just want to finish this.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is that you can say the anticipation is built up inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and then you bought it and you're like, oh, that isn't that that has no bearing on the cost of the game, the price of the game. You still would have gone, if you bought the game without any anticipation, if it's a bad game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let me throw the opposite at you. I recently grabbed Alien Swarm off of Steam, which is a free game. Alien Swarm is available on Steam for free right now. I had heard nothing about this game before it came out. They were very hush-hush about it. There was no hype built around it at all. It ends up being a pretty good game, and it's something that's thrown together, I can imagine, with not as much development time as some of the AAA titles would have been thrown together with. I mean, the textures are quite bland and everything. What I'm saying is it really necessary to throw millions of dollars behind a game, behind, you know, all this build-up to it, all this marketing, all this build-up, and the quality of the games between that free game I downloaded that had no hype behind it and the game that was multi-million dollar ad campaign, whatever, the quality seems either about the same or sometimes the indie game will be better. And I just wonder where our priorities are at in terms of development right now.
Right.
I'm just wondering out loud. Really.
There's very few indie games I've played that have been better than a polished game. World of Goo is one. I'm struggling now. Some of the older Geometry Wars, stuff like that.
Well, look, in my opinion, I can throw a couple out that I think surpass some AAA titles. I mean, I'm talking about Flash games. One, for instance, Every Day the Same Dream, which is I believe made by one person within 24 hours. And I think in terms of telling a story and in terms of evoking emotion in the player, I think that game does it better than a lot of psychological horror games on the Xbox 360 do.
Right. You see, this is the thing. It's perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it was so good for the mass market, word of mouth would have propagated it around.
Ah, but here's the thing, right? We're already seeing that the mass market wants these little downloadable experiences, because look at the iPhone market. The iPhone apps market is flooded with these little $1 games that people are playing.
No. You misunderstand me. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying small games aren't good, episodic games aren't good. What I'm saying is that your example of this game that you say is much better than all these other games,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. I'm not saying your opinion's wrong. But if it was so much better,
mm-hmm.
why isn't it at the forefront of gaming websites? Why isn't it widely known? Why isn't everybody talking about it on the internet? Because it really does appeal to certain people like yourself,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't tailor to the mass market. The AAA titles, the big companies, have to tailor to the mass market. Yeah. Not to the niche market.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, I mean, War for Cybertron, you talked about years of hype. War for Cybertron's hype was essentially, it started in, what, January?
Did it? Yeah. Or was it before that?
No, it was really.
It was January. It was shortly after Christmas people were talking about it.
Yeah, just before Christmas they mentioned it, and everyone's like, and they started saying, oh, we're going to have big news coming up, and everyone's like, if you're going to be releasing it next May, which was the original time for it to be released, not the end of June,
mm-hmm.
should, is it going to be more finished? And they said, oh, no, we haven't nearly finished it. And then the trailers started coming out. The problem is, it's that 6 months of hype put the game up further up the charts than it would have been without it.
Mm.
Now, we've talked about the problem of Activision selling it, which is why it didn't do so well in the UK. That's not a problem. But the indie games, very few of them are brilliant. Now, there's quite a few I haven't played that are supposed to be brilliant, like Braid.
Yeah.
A lot of them on Steam. There is more and more of them becoming good. However, you've got to find them. This is another difference. This is another big difference. Mass market games are ones that they know they can sell. So Braid is brilliant, but Braid is a very difficult game to sell to the average... I'm trying to think of the American equivalent of a chav.
a jock, I guess?
Thick. No. No, you're talking about basically someone who lives off the state is a waster.
Oh, a deadbeat!
Yeah, he's essentially a deadbeat.
Of course
not. But basically what they do is they're more infused with looks and appeal, not in what matters. So when they play a game, they want it to be easy so that they can beat it. And they can go, oh, look at this. Stuff like that. It's a simple thing. Because that is the majority of the market for gaming now. Since gaming's become no longer a niche thing like it was back in the days of the Mega Drive and onwards, mm-hmm. where games were very much a niche market, especially PC games. Back at the starting of that, we had Commander Keen and the like.
Mm-hmm.
You're really looking at a completely different gaming market. Yeah. Now they have to tailor. This is why now they have to tailor for everyone. The idea of the game is that they get as many people to buy it as possible. And there's no but every now and again they let out a little niche game. That will go out there and lots of people will like it because they can afford to throw that one out there.
Probably not sell very well though. It'll do well critically, but not sell very well. We've seen a bunch
of those.
Yeah.
But game developers, EA still does it. Eidos does it, Ubisoft does it. They still throw them out there for people like us. Well, but for the majority of the titles they make, they have to make it the big money games.
They actually finance the smaller games by selling the bigger titles. I know what's the company that Activision subsidizes some of their smaller games off of Modern Warfare and off of the Call of Duty series.
Which is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, I've never particularly... I think this Call of Duty series, as a story point of view, peaked with 2.
Mm-hmm.
With a multiplayer, peaked with 1. With Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
And I think all the other sequels have now been in the EA-ism of, hey, add a year to it.
Yeah.
But they have to do it to make money. It's EA has to do it. However, EA is now starting to suffer because people have stopped buying. Hey, look, it's FIFA 10.
Yeah, they're getting stuck in the rut, and it's just not working out.
People have stopped doing. Yeah. People have started to stop doing it, and EA is starting to go, ooh, shit. what they should now endeavor to do is make their next game as good as they can. If they don't change it much for the one, it doesn't matter. And then announce, next year is going to be an update for the game that you can download and make it quite cheap.
I think what they also need to do is
sales go up.
Yeah, they do also need to be looking for some new talent in terms of designers and get some guys with some fresh ideas and see what... I mean, I think Nintendo used to be very good about that until they hit their money machine with the Wii and then started licensing everything out. But Nintendo used to be all about the innovation. Nintendo used to be about finding new gameplay experiences to market, you know.
I think that's true, but it's really difficult to do because they normally fall on their ass. Take, for example, we're talking about the Kinect and the, whatever the PS3 one's called. see how well that's marketed? I don't even know what it's called, right? They will fall on their ass. The PS3 one's going to fall on its ass. I would put money on it right now.
I think you're underestimating the casual market in that regard.
No, let me finish. The Kinect, I think, will also fail because of its price point. £130 in the UK for a Kinect is incredible. It's coming up to the price of a Wii. You've got a whole console versus an add-on for a console in the same price point. Big mistake. Now, they're not going to go far because, we've said this before, if you want to go and have the gimmicks that these are all trying to create, you go for what's considered the best one. And you ask people, the casual gamer, who's got the Wii for fun, you're going to get that for your Xbox? No, I've got a Wii.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're going to get that for your PS3? No, I've got a Wii. Are you going to buy the Kinect? How much is it, 130? Is that with a console? No. I'll just buy a Wii, thanks.
Yeah.
If that's what you want from it, that's what you're going to do. You can say the casual market and everything. I don't think it's going to bomb like a Virtual Boy. But they're not going to go. They're not going to sell. Because people don't like innovation too fast.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think it's a case of innovation. I do not think it's a case of innovation. I think it's a case of...
What I mean is, in general, when people start trying to push boundaries and trying to change how things go. Look at this way. 3D gaming.
Let's not even get into that.
No. Everyone's kind of gone, but why?
Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly the same. Everyone's gone, innovate, push forward. Well, we've developed 3D.
That's not even a push forward. That's technology we had in movie theaters in the 50s. That is not a push forward.
Whoa. No. Because they're not doing it the same way.
The concept of it is not new.
No, I know the concept isn't new, but the actual technology is new, and its application in this sense is new. The technology of doing the 3D... If you look at the difference between 3D stuff from the 90s...
Sony is marketing... Sony is marketing and pushing this as if it's something that's never, ever been seen before, and that's what I take offense to.
Yeah, but that's because it's Sony, and we all fucking hate Sony.
Anyway, let's start wrapping up. Let's start wrapping up today because I want to get to what we've been playing this week, and we'll just wrap up the show from there because we're not running long, we're running on time. But let's quickly, guys, what have you been playing this week?
Sean,
just some like Outlaw Golf and Harry Potter games and stuff like that.
Cool.
I've actually been playing a game.
I have been playing. I finished Singularity. Still highly recommend that. The end game to that is some pretty That takes me back to like the late 90s school of game design. Just when you play it, you'll see what I mean. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. Been playing that. Started playing Unreal 2. Did not like that. I'll get into reasons about that probably next week when I get further into it. Trying to finish up Super Smash Bros. That is a really fun game. That is really entertaining. End game of it gets a little tedious, but not bad. And some Tatsunoko versus Capcom, some Street Fighter 4. Get myself hyped for all the new fighting games coming up. Bob, about you?
I think I played some more Borderlands. Mm-hmm. Have an online issue, so I didn't really get to smash out some missions of Moon. Madden 08. All of a sudden, I've started playing Madden 08, going back to the fact I'm not going to buy later Madden games because they're the same game.
Yeah.
And X-Men Origins Wolverine, started playing for that again, just because I wanted something fun.
That is a fun
not
game.
Not challenging, just fun. It's not great. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. That's what you want. Yeah, there you go. All
right.
Quite simple.
So that's, I believe, another episode in the can for this week. We may have a midweek or an addition to our next episode. Not going to say quite yet, but we have some pretty big guests coming up pretty soon. Keep tuned for that. And, I know we had Bob introduce the show, but I'm going to close it up because I can.
This it's his show. It's his show, basically.
This is me, Toya, saying goodbye for Sean.
Catch you on the flip side.
Oh, God. And Bob.
Yeah.
Was that your impersonation of that guy from Office Space? What's his name? Bloomberg?
Never watched Office Space.
Ah, you're missing out. Anyway. We'll catch you later, guys. Later!